We've been talking about this on a series. We start a series. We're on part three called The Sower Sows the Word. You've heard this parable before, this parable of the seed and the sower. Sower and the seed, Jesus told it. It's in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. Let's go ahead and read it. I'm going to read it in Mark 4, beginning at verse 3. Mark 4, beginning at verse 3, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 20. But follow along if you can. Hopefully you got your Bible. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, Jesus said this, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, first scenario, there's four scenarios here, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, and some seed fell among thorns, third scenario, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. I just told you the mystery of the kingdom of God. Right there. He says, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13. And then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? This is so significant because Jesus taught in parables. A parable is a parallel, a natural story that explains and reveals spiritual truths. He said, if you can't understand this one, you can't understand any of them. It's the foundation, the magdaddy of them all. Listen to this, verse 14. The sower sows the word. Verse 14, 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure for only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18, and these are the ones sown among thorns. Third scenario. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, I hope you hear how important that Jesus said this is. There's four scenarios here, and I'm going to give you the key to this. By the way, my notes are available on the link. If you look on top of this, on top of the video that you're watching right now, on top of the feed, you'll see the link for our notes. And I want you to get these because this is the reason, y'all, that the Word of God doesn't work for some people. He's telling us there's four scenarios here. And here, let me give you the keys. Key number one, key to this parable. Key number one. We are the sowers. We're the ones, and I want you to get a picture, because that's what a parable does, gives you this picture image of a spiritual truth. See someone with a bag of seeds, you know, like a bag, and then sowing, throwing those seeds on the ground, okay? We are those sowers. Number two, the word of God is the seed. Remember, we read that already in verse 14, the sower sows the word. The word of God is the seed. Now, keep this in mind. We already read in Isaiah, over the past couple weeks, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, that the word of God is the seed of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says that the word of God is incorruptible seed. That means it's perfect seed. Whenever God wants to get you and I something, he gives us seed. This is the bag of seed. Psalms 107 and verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. God, when he wants to heal us, he gives us his word. This is the number one way that God does healing, gives prosperity, gives abundance, peace. Every promise comes through his word. So this whole parable is telling why the word doesn't work for some people. And he gives four scenarios. That's number three. The number three key is this: the different types of ground, wayside, stony ground, among thorns, and the good ground, four different conditions of the heart that affect how the seed grows. Now keep in mind, the seed, the word of God, the DNA of God, produces 100% of the time, but think of it like a seed. If you had a, you know, any kind of seed in my hand, it's not gonna do any good. The seed must be sown in the ground. And our heart is this ground that the Bible is describing. Y'all get it? And so the four different types of ground, that's the conditions of the heart that the word was sown in. Key number four, only one ground was able to produce and sustain a harvest. That was the good ground. In other words, when we receive the word regarding healing, one out of four people, it wasn't able to produce in. And he describes these three grounds, the wayside here, the stony ground here, the among thorns here, and then the good ground. The good ground was the only one that was able to produce a perpetual, continuous, great harvest. So I want to know, and I hope you want to know too, why isn't the word, maybe you've been believing for a healing. Why hasn't it worked for you? You've been going to church for years, perhaps. And you've been hearing the word for years. Why doesn't it work? This parable explains it. In this parable, Jesus explains why the word may not work for you. That's imperative, because if we can figure out where we are, and that's one of the other keys. Let me move on. Key number five is the common denominators. The common denominator in all four scenarios is they all heard the same word. The seed was the same for everyone, but the key was only one it produced in. Number six, the sixth key in this parable that we're going to explain and understand, is every believer fits into one of these categories. Now that's huge right there, because you're either a wayside here, you're either a stony heart here, hard heart here, or it's sown among weeds in your heart. We're going to look at that one next week. Or it's good ground. Your heart is good ground. I don't know about you, but I want to be the good ground. I want to see this word produced in my heart. I still got things that I want God to do in my life, in my family, in my ministry. I want this seed to work, and I hope you're like me, and you want this thing to work. You want this word to work as well, and that's why we're studying it. So last week, and if you missed it last week, please go back and watch last Wednesday's teaching on this, on the sower and the seed, because we looked at the first scenario, the wayside hearer. And what we found out about the wayside hearer is that they didn't understand the word. That's what it said. They heard the word, but they didn't understand. And so the seed never got down in their heart because they didn't understand it. And it's the only one of the four scenarios that the Bible mentions the devil came immediately and took the word from them by force. The devil was able to steal the seed. And I get the picture of sowing seed. You know, like if I got these guys who do our yard, and I see them, putting down seed, grass seed sometimes of the year. I see them putting down fertilizer. Some of it ends in the street. Some of it ends up on the sidewalk. Some of it ends up in the grass, but some of it doesn't. And that's the picture I get from the wayside here. And that's why that seed never took root. Amen. So we talked about that last week. But today, we're going to look at the stony heart here. So I hope you got your Bible. If you do, turn it over to Matthew chapter 13. Remember, this parable is in three different Gospels: Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. And if you understand the Gospels, each Gospel is a different man's perspective of some of the same stories. It's the Gospels are about Jesus, but Matthew's written differently. He was a tax collector, a Jew, and it's written in a little different perspective than Mark. Mark is written as a servant, right? And then Luke was a physician. He has oftentimes a lot more detail. So there's different, we're going to glean different things, and that's what we want to do. And that's the key to really understanding the scriptures and having it work for you, that you really got to dissect it. And that's my job, to help you do that so that you can understand it. So the healing you need, you receive the abundance, the career, the destiny, the peace, the joy, every single thing that God has. God's not a liar. The word is absolutely true. It's incorruptible seed, infallible. It's no error in it. The Bible, Jesus said, heaven and earth can pass away, but my word's never going to pass away. It's eternal. It's his DNA. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. Ah, so we find here this second scenario, the stony heart here, and that's what I call it, the stony heart here. The seed fell on stony places. All right, remember the seed is the word, the heart is the ground, but this ground was stony, hard-hearted. You get it? Where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, the seed immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Say shallow. Yeah, shallow. This is a shallow person. You follow what I'm saying? They're shallow. Look at verse 6. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The seeds, think about this. The sun is supposed to provide life when a seed is in the ground, but because this seed didn't get in the soil because of the hardness of the heart, the sun actually destroyed the seed, the S-U-N. But think about this. Think about it in these terms. This is a parable. So Jesus is trying to give us a picture of how the word works. And so he's saying this is a person who heard the word was sown, but because of the hardness of their heart and the shallowness of the dirt, the shallowness of that person, that the word never got down in him. Are you with me? Let me read that in the, let me go to verse, let me read it in the Amplified Bible, 5 and 6 in the Amplified. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil, and at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched because they had no root. They dried up and withered away. Let's look over at the explanation of it, in verse 20 and 21. Y'all with me? 20 and 21. But he who received, I'm reading the King James Version, but he who received the seed on stony places, that's the condition of the heart, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Hear this. What he's saying here is because the seed was sown in stony places and he received it joyfully. Have y'all seen this? People that are emotional, he's describing a person who's shallow. Their heart is hardened, right? And they get excited when they hear it. But listen what he said. Yet he has no root in himself. He has no root in himself. Not that the word didn't have root in him. He says in the King James, he has no root in himself. When you have no root in yourself, what that means as a believer is you don't know who you are in Christ. Are you with me? And so look at what it says. But endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So we find out something else. Persecution, tribulation arises because of the word. In the first scenario, the wayside here, the Bible says the devil came immediately and stole the word because he didn't understand it. This person did understand it, but they were shallow enough that they didn't know who they were yet. They weren't rooted, and the word root keeps coming up, yet he has no root in himself. Let's read the same passage in the Amplified. Verse 20 and 21, Amplified Bible. What was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. They accepted it. Excited, hallelujah, shouting and bucking, you know. Verse 21, yet it has no real root in him. Here it says the word didn't take root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he's caused to stumble, he's repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. Listen to this. In the Amplified, it says, yet it, the word, has no real root in him, and he's temporary and inconstant. The reason that believers don't know who they are in Christ and have no root in themselves is because the word hasn't taken root in them. You and I as believers, our identity now as believers is derived in Christ. The Bible doesn't promote self-esteem, it promotes Christ esteem. You get what I mean? The world promotes self-esteem. I can do all things. I am, I can do. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't boast in you. The Bible says we need to die to us and live for him. Your strength, your power, your anointing, your health, your righteousness, everything you have as a believer is in him. Put on the whole armor of God, right? It's not your armor, it's God's armor. Everything as a believer comes from your identity in Christ. The only reason you'll be able to overcome in life any addiction, any sickness, is not because your power. You don't have the power to heal a mosquito. Jesus' power that's in you heals. But if you don't know who you are in him, the devil can run ramshot all over your life. He can just dance on top of your head, rob you of your health, rob you of your wealth, rob you of your peace, of your joy, of your well-being, and then blame God for it. Come on, somebody. All right, so did you see that? In Matthew, we see in it that it says he has no root in himself, and because he has no root in the word has no root in him. Turn over to Mark. We read this one. Let's look at it again. Mark chapter 4, Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4. Same passage in Mark. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. See what we're doing? We're looking at each scenario so we can glean the truths from it and apply it to our life so that we make sure that we're not a stony heart hearer. Already we found out a stony heart hearer is someone who's not rooted in the word, therefore they're not rooted in who they are in Christ. Mark chapter 4. Oh, and then also remember what it said. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. Do you know why trouble comes in your life? Trouble, accidents, junk that comes up in your life comes to take the word from you. If the devil can't steal the word from you because you're going to understand it, his next plot is, I got to cause trouble. I got to get them laid off of their work. I got to cause them some financial problems, some marital problem. It said, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. Do y'all get this? The word is so powerful and so lethal and so potent and so full of health, so full of life, so full of joy. If it takes root in your heart, it's going to produce a harvest, and the devil is terrified of you receiving your healing, terrified of you discovering your purpose and your destiny. You're going to get like, I got to tell everybody this. You'll get on fire. You'll become a threat to the kingdom of darkness if you get this parable and decide to get this seed of the word in your heart. And that's what we're doing on weekdays, mornings at Prayer and Proverb. Join me for Prayer and Proverb. I'm not playing. Here we go. Verse 5. Mark chapter 4, verse 5. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. So we're seeing this shallow soil. Not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root and withered away. Sounds real similar to the other one. Look at verse 16 and 17 when Jesus gives the explanation. In Mark, he says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, common denominator, every scenario hears the word. This is vitally important because I know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And all four of these people heard the word. All four of these scenarios here. And you may be hearing the word and may have heard it for years, but you're still not healed. You may have heard the word and still broke. May have heard. Why? Why? Because of one of these scenarios right here. And you've got to determine and be honest with yourself. What is it? Do I not understand? Am I not paying attention? Or am I not putting the time in to get rooted? And that's the scenario today. Amen. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Sounds familiar. Verse 17. And they have no root in themselves. We found that out in Matthew. And so endure only for a time. Have you seen that with believers? All fired up for a week, a month, a year, and then they disappear. Back out in the street, back up on drugs, back out living their old lifestyle. The Bible explains what happened here. Here it is. They have no root in themselves. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. In the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. All right. Emotional. This is, remember we read it. They're shallow, so they're emotional. Woo-hoo-hoo! All excited, shouting and bucking. Amen and real loud. And they have no real root in themselves. Here it is again. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know their purpose. They don't know that there's no weapon formed against them that can prosper. They don't know that yet. They have no idea that greater is he that's in. They've heard those things before, but they don't know how it works. It's not real to them yet. It's just words on a page. Amen? Watch this. They have no root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when, I love that. Circle in your Bible if you're looking at this passage. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. Listen to me, saint of God. Because you're hearing the word, you've showed up on the radar of the devil. He said, oh no, stop. He's terrified of you when you know who you are in Christ. The Bible says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That implies he can't devour everyone, just the ones that don't know who they are and who he is. The devil's terrified of you. Sickness is terrified of you. Come on, somebody. The devil's terrified of you. He's trembling. He trembles when a believer walks in the room who's armed in the armor of God. You look just like Jesus. It's the armor of God. You've got on God's armor. He can't tell the devil can't tell the difference between you and Jesus when you know who you are, when you talk like a believer. Come on, somebody. When you wear the armor of God, when you've got the belt of truth on and the breastplate of righteousness on, the helmet of salvation, your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. You've got the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith. Are y'all with me? And you're praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication in the spirit for all the saints. When you know that and you wear that and you put that on, you become a lethal weapon. Sickness can't touch you. Are you kidding? But it will get on people who don't know who they are. And that's what this scenario is saying. They have no real root in themselves. Amen. Oh, let me read up. Verse 17. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. And when tribulation, persecution arises on account of the word, trouble's coming to get that word out of you. Please hear me. Trouble's coming to get the word. That car accident, that failed business, that divorce is coming not just for your kids and your family, to get you off the word. Come on, somebody. Say, not me. I'm not getting off the word. I'm not getting off it. I'm going to get victory. You've already got victory. Here we go. They immediately are offended. Oh, here's another clue that wasn't revealed in Matthew, but just in Mark. Offended. Offense. Have y'all met offended believers? Yeah, they're a dime a dozen, because offense is a sign of shallowness, of immaturity, not knowing who you are. Come on, somebody. You've got to learn not to take offense from anybody. Anybody. The Bible talks about in Proverbs how a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city with bars. With bars up against it. You get gates all around it. Don't allow offense to get in your life and get you out of church, get you out of the word. Something happens in your marriage, now you're offended and you're mad at God. Stop blaming God for the problems that the devil's trying to cause in your life. He's trying to get the word out of you. Y'all see it right there? Listen to the end result. Offended and become displeased. God, I've seen this a million times. Indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. Y'all see that one? Turn over to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 8. We're just looking at all three scenarios and gleaning the details, because we don't want to be a wayside here where the devil steals the word of healing, the word of abundance out of our heart, and we go to church our whole life still broke, busted, and disgusted the whole time trying to figure out what's wrong with God. Nothing's wrong with God. We've got to look at us. Nothing's ever wrong with God, and he's never holding out on you. Are y'all listening to me? The overcoming that addiction, overcoming that sin, overcoming that attitude, overcoming that broke, overcoming that sickness is a matter of that word taking root in your heart. Think about it. If you go tomorrow and put some seed in the ground in your yard, let's see, I remember the only thing I've ever planted was popcorn as a little boy. I think I was in junior high school, and we planted this popcorn. What if I'd gone out there the next day and dug it up to see how it was doing and then put it back in? It would never grow. And that's what happens with many believers. Tribulation calls them to root out that word so it never grows. It never takes root. Amen, amen. Here we are, Luke chapter 8 and verse 6. Luke chapter 8, same story, just different gospel. Luke chapter 8 and verse 6. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Oh, First time that's mentioned in this parable. We didn't see that in Matthew, and we didn't see that in Mark. Only in Luke that we see. Remember, Luke's the doctor. He said the seed didn't grow because it didn't get moisture. Moisture is all representative, also always representative of the word. The Bible says you're washed and cleansed by the water of the word. So they didn't meditate on it. They didn't get it on the inside of their heart so that it stuck. Look at that let's look at verse 13, New King James. The explanation of that. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, once again, hear the word, everybody hears it, receive the word with joy, and they have no root. It just says they have no root. Who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. All right, so we've heard persecution, tribulation, offense, and now we hear temptation. Have y'all seen this in people's lives? They come to church, they get set free from drugs, alcohol, whatever, some kind of perverse sexual stuff. They get set free for a while, and then temptation comes. They fall away. They fall back into it. Listen, saint of God, why am I telling this? I'm not saying these things to throw shade at you. I'm telling you these things so that you can get the true benefit of being saved and get all of what God has for it. I'd hate to go through life broke, busted, and disgusted, sick, get to heaven and find out, dang, if I had just taken an hour a day, if I had just taken some extra time, I would have been healed. I could have lived my dream life, lived my dream career, had my dream marriage and family. I didn't get nothing because I didn't take the time to get rooted in the word. That's what this whole scenario is about. Let me read in the Amplified. And those upon the rock, verse 13, Amplified Bible, Luke 8. And those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, receive and welcome it with joy. You get it? But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in the time of trial and temptation, fall away, withdraw, and stand aloof. All right, y'all see that? So we see this second scenario. The whole deal is they're not rooted in the word. They don't get rooted in the word. Therefore, they don't understand who they are as a believer. They don't know their identity in Christ. They still call themselves a sinner saved by grace. No, you're now the righteousness of God. You were a sinner who got saved by grace, but now you are the righteousness of God. And there's a litany of promises in the Proverbs and the Psalms for you and your family and your wealth and your health and your provision. But you've got to know who that is. And most people spend more time in their television shows, come on somebody, in their Netflix than in the Gospels. Did that hurt? That was a truthful punch, but it's real. And then people wonder, why am I going through this? Why am I getting older and older and I still ain't got nothing? Because you haven't taken the time to invest in your future because of what God's already placed in this word and in you. You've got a bag of seeds of wealth here. You just got to sow them in your heart and they'll produce a harvest. Now, hey, listen to this, y'all. I'm going to add a link. I added it on the afternoon service, but I'm going to add a link in the comments of about this bamboo tree. When I talk about this this second scenario of the stony heart here, it makes me think of the bamboo tree, the Chinese bamboo tree. Have you ever heard of it? If you've never heard of it, I'm going to put a link in the comments. But this, if you've heard about it, motivational speakers talk about it all the time. When I first heard about this, it was Les Brown who did a whole session. You can see that when you pull up on YouTube, Chinese bamboo tree, it's going to explain this tree. Let me just read to you what I pulled right off of Wikipedia. The Chinese bamboo tree is the fastest growing plant on earth. It has been measured surging skyward as fast as 48 inches in a 24-hour period. In one day, it can grow at its peak time, 4 feet. You can, in fact, when you watch some of these YouTube videos, they have some fast video where they can show it, you know, show some of them just growing up and real quickly in time. But people have said they can hear it. You can hear it cracking as it grows. Let me read on. It says, and can reach maximal growth rate exceeding 39 inches per hour for short periods of time. 39 inches is a meter. Exceeding 39 inches per 1 hour, over three feet. Are y'all with me? A meter. Look at this. Many prehistoric bamboos exceeded heights of 250 feet. Unlike other trees, all bamboo has the potential to grow to full height and girth in a single growing season of 3 to 4 months. Watch this. Trees can grow as much as 90 feet in 6 weeks. But watch this. Here's the whole amazing thing about the bamboo tree. And this is what I'm going to show you in the link that I'm going to attach in the comments. Trees show no signs of growth until the fifth year. In other words, you plant a Chinese bamboo tree seed in the ground, right? The first year, and I think if I remember correctly, a little sprout bud comes up out of the ground, about that big, just a little itty bitty thing like that. And then the first whole year, no other growth. You don't see any other visible growth. Second year, no growth. Third year, no growth. Fourth year, nothing. It's just a little thing on top of the soil like that for 4 years. It isn't until the fifth year that that thing starts to grow enormously. It's exceeding heights of 250 feet. You'll see it in the video that I'm gonna put. But what happened? What happened? Why does it seem like it's not growing for the first 5 years? Why? It's because it's growing down. It's growing roots into the ground. In order to sustain its quick growth in the fifth year and its enormous heights and girth in that fifth year, for the first 5 years, it grows downward. It's digging roots. And what Jesus is saying in this parable, the reason that many never received their healing from the word, they never received their abundance, their destiny, their purpose, their all the great things that God has for them, is because they've never let the word take root in their heart and grow, bring stability so that it can produce fruit of health, produce fruit. God's number one way of healing is that. Not to receive a miracle healing or even someone's hands laid on you, all that's good. But God's number one way to receive everything he has is by sowing seed of the word and it growing up in your life. That's the number one way. And that's why this parable Jesus is saying is so important. If you don't get this, you can't understand anything else. This is how it works. And many believers, I would venture to say most believers, never get this. They think it's about coming to church once a week. We're on holidays, CEOs, Christmas, and Easter only, Christians. You've got to meditate in this word, and that's how you get it down in your heart so it starts producing the fruit of the seed. We've got to get what the Bible calls this is being rooted and grounded in Christ through, the number one way is through relationship, y'all. Christianity is about a relationship. Look over in John. I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation, I'm going to read John chapter 15. John chapter 15, let me get it here. John chapter 15, and you're familiar with John chapter 15. Remember at the Last Supper? Last Supper, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, before Jesus goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane, has his high priestly prayer the night before he's going to the cross, gets arrested. Those preceding chapters are all at the Last Supper with the 12 disciples. Remember when Judas betrayed him and all that stuff. But he tells them truths about this relationship that he's going to have with them when he leaves. Of course, they're all in love with him. They've had a relationship with him for the last 3 years in his earthly ministry. But he says, I'm leaving, but I'm still going to have a relationship with you. And he explains it. Look at this. I'm going to read beginning at, you've heard this passage in the New King James. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Some of the most passionate words of Jesus, in my opinion. But let's start reading at verse 1. I'm reading from the John 15, the Passion Translation. Jesus says, I am a true sprouting vine. Now keep in mind, remember this is the seed and the sower. So this is a parable too. He's explaining how this whole thing works. This relationship works in a parable type way, right? I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father, Heavenly Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. That's God's desire for you, that you produce fruit of joy, fruit of peace, fruit of abundance, fruit of health. Amen. Verse 3, the words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. You got born again by the word. It took root in your heart. That's why you're saved. But watch what he says here. Verse 4. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Now keep in mind what he's saying here. I am the vine, you are the branches. And the branches must stay connected to the vine in order to produce fruitfulness. You get what he's saying there? He said, you're already connected to me. You're already saved by the word that I gave you. You received that, but you still got to stay connected to me. That's called relationship, intimate relationship with him. Get the picture of, when he talks about vine and the branches, I always get the picture of a grapevine. Have you ever seen a grapevine? Big, thick, thick wood vine, but then attached to it are all these little branches that bear the fruit, the grapes. And so Jesus is saying, I'm that thick branch, that trunk, so to speak, but you're the branches that bear fruit. He said, and if you get severed from me, you're not going to be able to produce fruit. But if you stay connected to me, the same life source that's in God, it will be in you and produce fruit. But what happens with many believers is they don't keep that close connection of relationship. It's an intimate relationship, like a marriage is what he's describing here. It's intimacy. Y'all get what I'm saying? He says, verse 5, I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Ah, if you stay connected to Jesus in relationship, he said, fruitfulness will stream from within you. It comes from the inside. That seed will start to produce from the inside. Y'all get what he's saying right here. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Now, many believers, although they're in church, praise the Lord, they're saved, they live a relationship that is void. There's more time. Think about it. In a marriage relationship, many marriages fall apart because they're married, but there's no intimacy. There's no communication. And in this relationship with Jesus, what that is prayer. There's no time spent together. By the way, on Sundays, I'm teaching on prayer. Don't miss it. Effective prayer is a series that I'm starting on Sunday. You need to know it. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Your prayer should be answered 100% of the time if we pray effectively and pray correctly. That's what we're going to learn on Sunday. Amen. Start that series. But here Jesus is talking about a relationship. That's the first part of this bearing fruit, is this intimate relationship. Jesus wants this marriage relationship with you, where you and he are one. You're talking to him about everything, and you understand his word and apply it in your life, and you're rooted and grounded in him and in this relationship. Let me read on. Verse 6. If a person is separated from me, all right, he said you're already cleansed with the word, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not in union with him. He says, if a person is separated from me, he's discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. Now watch, Jesus isn't doing that because you've severed yourself from him. Think about it. If I cut my arm off, this arm is going to die. You get what I'm saying? It's not going to be able to bear fruit. My arm moves because it's connected to my body. Wherever I want it to go, it goes. And this is the relationship that Jesus wants with us connected to the vine in real, genuine relationship. Amen. He says, verse 7, but if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you. Two things. If you live in life union with me, King James says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Passion Translation. But if you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. But when your lives bear abundant fruit of healing, of abundance, of peace, of joy, of purpose and destiny, when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Y'all see why we've declared this a year of becoming disciples. If you'll get genuine relationship with Jesus, real relationship with him, and his word, you're going to be a disciple. And you shall know the truth. Jesus said it like this in John 8, chapter 31 and verse 32. If you continue in my word, continue in my word, live in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, verse 32, and the truth will make you free from that addiction, make you free from whatever sickness or disease. There is no sickness or disease that can stand against the truth of God's word. The key is we've got to get rooted and grounded in it. Are y'all listening to me? Look over in your Bible at Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible talks about this whole thing over and over and over in many passages in the Bible about us getting rooted and grounded in Jesus by having relationship with him and the word. Look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Y'all know this one already. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in his word, or his law, he meditates day and night. Not on television, on coronavirus, on people's drama does he meditate day and night. That's what many believers do. And then they can't figure out why they're sick perpetually and just accept it. It's not supposed to be that way. He meditates in his word day and night. He shall be like a tree. Boom, there it is. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, its fruit of healing, fruit of abundance in its season. That means it takes time. Just like that Chinese bamboo tree, the word has to take root and grow. Many people never allow that to happen. That brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. The leaf shall not wither. Leaves on trees, when it talks about in the Bible, always represent healing. Your healing will never dissipate. Health is a part of this deal. Y'all, this health and healing shouldn't be something extraordinary. That should be regular. That's normal. You get it? Sickness is not normal. For the believer, coronavirus, all that stuff. For believers, that should be far from us who understand this. Now, don't take offense to any of this, y'all. Offense. That's that stony heart here. Offense, that's just a sign of immaturity. That's a hard saying, but it's true nonetheless. Look at this last part. And whatever he does shall prosper. If you're not prospering, here's the reason why. The word has to take root in your heart. And that's why I'm so encouraged, because if you'll connect with me every morning. Listen, some of y'all hear me say this day after day, day after day. Your life is falling apart. Everything's stuck. And you won't take the time to do it. Whatever the excuse is, kill it and just hook up with me. And I'm going to show you this process. It changed my life. It'll change your life too. Amen, amen, amen. So this being rooted and grounded in the word is a matter of relationship with Jesus, number one, and relationship, intimacy with his word. That's how you find out who you are. The book of Ephesians, actually all the epistles, Ephesians and Colossians are very similar, but it's so clear here in Ephesians. Turn in your Bible if you got, in fact, I'm flipping past Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Y'all know it probably by heart. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, every time in the New Testament you see in Christ, in him, through him, by him, it's a verse that's describing what your identity is as a believer. Look at that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old sickness, old disease, old thinking. The old you has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because you're in Christ, you've got a whole new identity and a whole new life. Now, verse 18, now all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been engrafted into Christ. We're one spirit with him. Amen, amen. Look over to Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to illustrate this, because if you're a believer that's not walking in the blessing and the favor and the promises of God, no shade, it's just a few tweaks you got to make. Life, y'all, is a matter of just some simple little adjustments. A little adjustment. Think about this. One little adjustment in your time could change everything in your future. change everything in your career. Just one little shifting of time where maybe if you sit in the morning and watch the news and eat breakfast, just shift it. Lock in with me every morning, particularly while we're doing while we're in COVID-19. I want to help you to get on this word to become a disciple and see the fruit of this in your life. And now remember what we said about that Chinese bamboo tree. You sow a seed today, you may not see the harvest tomorrow, but you keep watering it. You keep the sun on it. You keep the word on it. The sun and the word, both of them represent the word Jesus. You keep doing it. And I'm telling you, you're going to look back and go, wow, what happened to that sickness? What happened to that broke? What happened to that jacked up relationship? What happened to that? What happened to it was the seed finally took root. You started finding out who you were, and sickness, disease is no match for a real believer who knows who they are in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. That's one of these promises I'm telling you about. If you go through the New Testament, you're going to find that over 155 times. Around 155 times. You're going to see in him, through him, by him, all these things. Listen to what just one verse says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing? Yes, every spiritual blessing in the spirit realm is what that means, in Christ. Every single thing you need is already in you in Christ because you're in Christ. Look over at 2 Peter. Ooh, 2 Peter. This isn't in my notes. I'm just thinking of this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Flip over and look at that. You got to look at it in your Bible. This will make so much more sense to you if you see it in your Bible and don't just hear it. See it in your Bible so you can see it yourself and highlight it. Get a little highlighter, pink or yellow highlighter, and mark it in your Bible so you can see this, what I'm going to show you right here. Watch this. Grace and peace. Grace, that's God's riches at Christ's expense, and peace. Peace means nothing missing and nothing lacking. Be multiplied to you in the, look at it, knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything God has gets multiplied to you, not added to you, multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus. The more you know about who Jesus is, the more you find out who you are and what you have. That's how it works. Look at verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things. Look at it in your Bible so you can see this. Has given to us all things. Does a home include all things? Yes. Does a future include all things? Yes. Does a career? Does health? Does healing? Does children? Yes. All that. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him. The more you know about him, the more you act, live, walk in who he is. One more passage. Look at this. Oh my God, there's so much. Get my notes. All of it says all this stuff, but I'm about to close. Look at this verse right here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Look at this. I'm ending with this verse. Love has been perfected among us in this. The more you know how much God is in love with you, John chapter 17 says this. Jesus said, the same way the Father loves me is the same way he loves you. And the same way he loves you is the same way I love you. Jesus said it. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of temptation, testing, and trial. That's what that word judgment means. Because as he is, as he, capital H, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is right now seated at the right hand of the Father, on the majesty on high, so are we right now in this world. I'm not making it up. It's right here in your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Is Jesus sick right now? No. So are we here in this world. So we shouldn't be sick either. Is Jesus depressed? No. Is Jesus living in sin? No. as he is, so are we in this world. Everything that he is, everything that he has, he's provided it for us already. And it's a matter of us knowing who we are in Christ to walk in it, get rooted and grounded in that. I'm telling you, your sick days are behind you. Your depressed days are behind you. Your whatever problem that you're facing, the way you overcome it is getting rooted in the Word. Second scenario as we close right here. The first scenario, wayside hearer, they didn't understand the Word. Second scenario, the stony heart hearer, they didn't get rooted in the Word. Didn't get rooted and grounded. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for every person tuned in and watching right now and every person that will watch later on. I declare, Lord, that you'll stir their heart up. Stir their heart up. Remove the scales from their eyes, the hardness of their heart, the complacency of their heart, to not settle for just barely getting by, to just not settle for sickness, not settle for disease, not settle for anything that's less than what you provided for. I thank you, Lord, that it's ours now. We receive it. We believe, receive it. Listen, if you're watching right now today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, he's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And God has great things in store for you and your family. Say this simple prayer if you want Jesus as your Lord. Say this: Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died, rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my everything. Right now, I'm saved. Friends, you said that simple prayer. Let me know. Hit us right there in the comments and let me know. Listen, tomorrow, I want to see you, 7 a.m., Prayer and Proverb, Facebook Live. Lee Stokes. If you're not my friend, I want to be your friend. God bless you. I can't wait to see you till tomorrow morning. Peace.